Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here live on Monday morning, September 9th. Apparently critical fire weather conditions today. Red flag warning issued for much of south central Montana, perfect a portion of southeast Montana, and lower elevations in Sheridan County, Wyoming. This is from the National Weather Service out of Billings. Temperatures in the mid-80s to mid-90s. Relative humidity dropping, winds 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusts to 35. So that's a big deal. I thought it was a little bit interesting here how we're going to get a cold front moving in here this week. We're going to go from a high of 93 today all the way down to a high of 74, dipping down into the low 50 degrees at night here. Right as Kamala Harris and Donald Trump prepare for the big debate this week, tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to that, really looking forward to that. It's good. It's good Kamala Harris is doing. I saw on Political Playbook this morning. I just got done reading the latest Political Playbook, just published here an hour or two ago. They said, here's the president's schedule today. Oh, no public events on Biden's schedule today. Biden has nothing scheduled today. Probably going to be passed out again on the beach while worldwide events spiral. Joe Biden actually has spent over 40% of his presidency on vacation. This is a Breitbart piece. Joe Biden has spent 40% of his presidency on vacation while Americans suffer from problems, which we all know about. Question is, how much time has John Tester spent on his vacation? I was asking last week, does John Tester ever go camping? When was the last time John Tester went camping? When was the last time he went hiking? The real question, I guess, is, does John Tester like to vacation this much? Because these Democrats sure love their vacationing in office. The RNC shared a video of Biden lounging on a chair at the beach recently. Biden spent his 16th straight day on vacation, lounging on the beach, 40% of his presidency on vacation. Kamala Harris, she might vacation a little bit less. But we'll see. Kamala Harris has been so busy putting on fake accents that it's hard to report on anything else. She has pulled out her Hillary Clinton playbook, putting on the fake accent. AOC, really good with the fake accent as well. I'm surprised we haven't seen John Tester put on any fake accents. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine John Tester putting on some fake accents just like Kamala Harris and AOC? Haven't seen it yet, but wouldn't be surprised. Meanwhile, the media is just completely lying about J.D. Vance's statement about school shootings being just a fact of life. He actually said it's really unfortunate. And actually, it doesn't have to be a fact of life because we can harden our schools. And he was pointing out how obvious it is that the school shooters always go for schools because they're soft targets. Got some other interesting Montana news here, folks. Plus, open phones, 406-294-0970. Please call in. Help the guest host out. Give me some content to talk about. 406-294-0970. Taking your phone calls all hour long. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Securing America.
After falling quite short of recruiting goals in 2022 and 2023, Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said last week she's optimistic about meeting this fiscal year's goal of 55,000 new recruits. Part of the reason, new recruiting staffing.
We have created a new warrant officer specialty focused on recruiting. The first cohort of those warrant officers are actually going out to some of our recruiting brigades right now.
Wormuth says the Army still faces challenges, however, like low unemployment and some candidates not meeting qualifications.
We're going to have to continue to work really, really hard to get back to where we're recruiting 60,000 kids a year or more.
Because, she says,
that's really where we need to be to grow back the Army to a size that's appropriate for the incredibly difficult security environment we're facing right now.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine and some areas of smoke across the region for today. High temperature readings will stay from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 93 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies, areas of smoke, lows in the mid and upper 50s. And then for Tuesday, we can expect sunshine and some areas of smoke, highs from the mid-80s to around 90 degrees tomorrow. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got some messages up, or got some stories up at the KBUL website and the Montana Talks website you want to check out. Taylor Brown wins Billings Chamber Legacy Award. A story up on the KBUL website by Travis Lee talking about Taylor Brown winning the Legacy Award from the Billings Chamber of Commerce. You're going to want to check that article out. I was just reading some stuff here from Aaron Flint on Twitter. Aaron Flint tweeted out a piece by Slate, which is a left-wing news source, talking about how worried they are about the Senate now that John Tester is clearly doing so poorly. Boy, there was a whole bunch of crime here in Billings over the weekend. Not a lot of good stuff happening. Billings SWAT responded to an armed subject on Sunnyview, according to Color 8 story. There's just, I couldn't even keep them all straight how many different stories there were this weekend about high-speed chases. This one says, Billings Police Department responded to an active scene on the 2200 block of Sunnyview involving an armed subject on September 7th, which was Saturday. SWAT teams had to arrive on location and an active scene SWAT responded. There was a pedestrian that died following a late night crash near Ashland. This one also says Montana Highway Patrol released more information about a crash that left one person dead. This was Friday afternoon. This was actually Saturday afternoon. A man from Louisiana driving a Dodge Ram 1500 with one passenger hit a pedestrian on the highway, ending up dead. So, unfortunately, those crime stories are still coming out of Billings just on a constant basis. Here's one from the City of Billings Public Relations Department. The press release regarding an aggravated kidnapping and a police pursuit Saturday morning. During the Friday night hours, Billings police officers continuing an investigation in the aggravated kidnapping, multiple felonies that have been escalating over the past week, and were attempting to locate the suspect, Robert Cannoli, a 47-year-old resident of Billings. BPD officers attempting to locate the suspect. His vehicle was located on the west end of Billings. They initiated a traffic stop. However, he failed to yield, fled in his vehicle. Pursuit was initiated based on a compelling need to apprehend Cannoli. The pursuit continued through the west end of town for approximately 15 minutes. So we're literally having high-speed vehicle police chases on the Billings west end here. Anyways, drones were deployed, were able to locate the suspect hiding in a field. Officers were able to take him into custody, transported to the Elston County Detention Facility. Aggravated kidnapping, stalking, criminal endangerment, PFMA, assault with a weapon, tampering with evidence, intimidation, destruction of a communications device, felony PFMA theft, eluding, obstructing, and resisting arrest. the charges list just keeps going on with that one. There was some upsetting news here out of the Unleashed Prosperity Hotline. Apparently, Stephen Moore is going to be taking a short leave of absence to focus on the promotion of a new book he wrote with Dr. Art Laffer, who came up with the Laffer Curve, which shows that when you reduce tax rates, you increase revenue. So that was a good one. I saw this. I couldn't believe this. Aaron Flint was right. Missoula County has officially approved a property tax increase. By the way, shout out to the Republican legislature and the Republican governor. I did get my property tax rebate in the mail. If you folks haven't gotten yours yet, I'm sure you'll be getting yours soon. But thanks for the property tax reduction from the Montana Republican legislature. Meanwhile, in Missoula, they're increasing property taxes. Missoula County Commissioners Thursday passed the 2025 budget with a 4.2% property tax increase, higher than anticipated. Inside city limits, owners of a $300,000 home, which there aren't really any $300,000 homes in Missoula, to my knowledge, but they're doing a massive 4.2% property tax increase. Commissioner Dave Strohmeyer said, "I live in the city. My taxes will be higher than if I was residing in a similarly priced home outside city limits because I'm paying for additional city services. So while it may look like more, it's less." It doesn't even make sense. Wow. Missoula County plans to spend about $256 million and generate $282 million in revenue. So their property taxes just continuing to go up in Missoula, openly raising property taxes, and then at the same time running these political campaigns pretending to be in favor of low on property tax. In fact, there was a lot of Democrats out there just tweeting this weekend and putting out stories just this weekend blaming the Republicans for high property taxes. Never mind the fact that literally the Republicans are the ones that sent our overpaid property taxes back to us, and the Democrats, who are in control of places like Missoula, are openly raising your property taxes. It boggles the mind how they could actually be out there trying to pretend and claim that it's actually the Republicans who are raising your property taxes. Did you folks hear this story about Steven Crowder caught on camera, a federal DOJ public affairs chief, admitting that this Alvin Bragg case against Donald Trump was a perversion of justice and a complete joke and should have never been brought in the first place, which we've all known. But now there's hidden camera footage of the federal DOJ, which is really behind it. We all know that. Admitting that that was a joke of a case. Terrible.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website. Go download the Montana Talks app, because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Hail no.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the fate of Superior Farms 500,000 head capacity lamb plant in Denver, Colorado, estimated to account for 15-20% of U.S. lamb processing capacity, will be in voters' hands this November as they consider a referendum that would shut down its operations by 2026 and ban any future meatpacking businesses from entering the city and county. Now, according to AgriPulse, advocates of the ban see it as a chance not only to end animal processing in Denver, but also spark a nationwide movement to incite change through city ballot boxes rather than consumer buying habits, which can at times be tough to influence. It would also affect nearly 1,000 growers in the central and western U.S. who supply Superior Farms. Faced with the threat of losing the plant, Superior Farms has poured over $160,000 into a campaign opposing the effort, and state and national groups, including the American Sheep Industry Association, Colorado Livestock Association, National Pork Producers Association, NCBA, and even the United Food and Commercial Workers Union have also contributed. In the meantime, it's important to note that Superior Farms does operate another packing plant in California, and company officials say the company would live on if the Denver facility were to close. For more information about this issue, you can visit StopTheBanProtectJobs.com. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. Cattle producers, you're invited to the 2024 Montana Angus Tour, September 17th through the 19th, hosted by the Central Montana Angus Association. Montana has long been known as the seed stock capital of the world, and you'll see some of the world's finest Angus genetics on display. Golf tournament is September 17th, tour September 18th and 19th. For more information and to register online, visit mtangus.org. Angus cattle and producers from the heart of Central Montana.
At AgWest, we know agriculture isn't just a business. It's a way of life. So we're here to help operations succeed for generations to come by supporting our customer members and the rural communities where we live and work. From small family businesses to large operations, AgWest brings the experience and financial know-how to help you grow your best future. Find out how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, this week, Farmers Union members are back in Washington, D.C., urging members of Congress and agency officials to pass a new farm bill as part of the annual National Farmers Union Fall Legislative Fly-In. Along with visiting congressional offices, Farmers Union members will also be meeting with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and agency representatives from the FTC, EPA, and the Department of Justice's Antitrust Division. And finally this morning, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association is applauding the USDA's first round of awards under its Empowering Rural America program. In fact, the first obligations total $9.7 billion. They say it's designed specifically for electric co-ops interested in purchasing or building new energy systems and will be administered by USDA's Rural Utilities Service. And a lot of those projects are right here in Western Ag Network country. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
We're talking a little bit about the Steven Crowder video, undercover video, which shows that the DOJ Chief of Public Affairs for the Southern District of New York, I got that wrong, it wasn't the federal DOJ, it was the DOJ Chief of Public Affairs for the Southern District of New York, which actually, no, that is the federal DOJ if it's for the federal court district of... Either way, it's Nicholas Bice saying the whole case was nonsense. We've got Tim in Billings on the line. Tim, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, David. Yeah, that video is pretty great to watch if you're a person that has any sort of conscience and you understand that all of these lawsuits and indictments and everything against President Trump are nothing but lawfare, and in fact he confirms that they're nothing but lawfare, but he did come out with a statement afterwards, and he said that he was just lying to impress the woman that he had just met, blah blah blah. You know, how much pressure did he get from his superiors to say that? What I would love to see is a government employee that says, yes, I said that. No, it's not taken out of context. Those are my personal beliefs. They do not affect my ability to do my job unbiasedly, unlike the people I was talking about in the video. Period. How about we can say that? How about we can have an opinion about something, hold a position in government, and still be able to do our jobs unbiasedly? Is it possible anymore? I don't know.
Well, and the thing about that is, like, if he's really trying to walk it back, I mean, what he said was true in that video. He says Bragg was stacking charges, rearranging things just to make it fit a case. That's true.
Right. Exactly.
He says every real estate person in New York does exactly what Trump did. Nobody's ever been charged with it. It's all just Trump. That's also, just factually, that's true. right? I mean,
exactly.
So how is he gonna try to say that he's lying or try to walk that back when it's like all he said was factually true statements?
Well, that's what his statement said, that he was lying to try and to impress a woman that he had just met. You know, I guess, are you lying now or were you lying then? You know,
either way, you're lying, which is a problem.
You're biased. When did you stop beating your wife? Because are you lying now or are you lying then? You know, I just can't fathom not being able to have a spine and say, yep, I did say that. Yep, that's my personal opinion. Go through my work record and see if my bias, my personal bias, has affected my work. I can have an opinion as a government employee.
That's a good point. No, that is a good point. Let me throw you on hold there, Tim. We got a 6:30 news break here. If you got more to add, please stick with us. If that was what your point was, totally understand that too. We'll be right back here. 1 minute news update, bottom of the hour, 6:30 a.m. David Noble with the K filling in for Aaron Flint. Be right back. This is absolutely wild. I'm sitting there checking X this morning, and there's all this stuff coming out of Springfield, Illinois. 20,000 Haitian migrants have overwhelmed an Ohio town of 58,000. That would be the equivalent of, what, over 50,000 Haitian migrants come into a place like Yellowstone County. Springfield, Ohio is a Rust Belt town hollowed out by industry offshoring, a population of 58,000. This is from the Beaufort Observer. The Biden-Harris regime decided what they needed was a bunch of migrants. They directed 20,000 migrants from Haiti to Springfield. And then this is absolutely absolutely nuts. The story that got posted Sunday on Zero Hedge, and this is what's causing X to blow up this morning. One of these Haitian migrants ate his neighbor's cats. This is from Zero Hedge. The story begins as many 21st century Midwestern Rust Belt ones do, with the hollowed out city abandoned by the manufacturing sector for greener offshore pastures where multinational American corporations can pay Indonesian orphans 12 cents an hour with no OSHA regs and definitely no 401ks. This whole story of 20,000 Haitian migrants being sent to this Ohio town of 58,000 has been, that part of the story is sort of old news. The newer part of this is that what's gone on here sort of recently, and so there's the way Zero Hedge calls this is cultural assimilation hitting a few snags. Large numbers of This is a quote from somebody here in the city. Large numbers of people entering or living in America illegally are exacerbating the housing crisis. The sheer number of migrants arriving and residing in the area has strained resources to their limit. The worst part about this whole thing is this person allegedly ate their neighbor's cat, and then the Daily Mail out of the UK also put out a story of what's going on in Springfield. Woman is forced out of her home of 45 years after migrants began squatting on her lawn. This is just from today, actually. This is the UK Daily Mail reporting today. An Ohio woman pleaded with local officials to make some changes after revealing that she's being driven out of her home of 45 years because of migrant activity. I'm done with what I'm seeing. It's unsafe in the homeless. We're trying to camp out. I've made concessions with them. She talks about how she's trying to help them. It's unsafe. They don't speak English. They're throwing mattresses and throwing trash in her front yard. And she had to pack up and move. And she said some of these Haitian migrants are eating vegetables right off the grocery store shelves. They're eating their neighbor's cats. That's what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, I guess.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. A South Dakota man died over the weekend when he was hit by a pickup while apparently walking in the middle of the highway in Rosebud County. MHP troopers say the accident happened late Saturday night near Ashland when an oncoming truck driven by a Louisiana man came upon the victim walking eastbound in the middle of the westbound lane of Highway 212. The driver of the truck tried to swerve to the left but couldn't miss the victim. There was no immediate information as to why the victim was in the road. Montana FWP biologists are once more asking for people to be bear aware, especially this time of the year, after another grizzly had to be euthanized, this time north of Butte. The agency says this bear was causing problems in the Elk Park area, and it worked with residents to install electric fencing to keep him out of chicken coops. But when he stayed in the area, biologists relocated the grizzly, only to have him show up a few weeks later near Elliston, looking for more chicken coops and feed and garbage as a food source. So the bear had to be trapped and put down. Flathead County authorities are releasing the name of the kayaker who drowned over Labor Day weekend in the Hubbard Dam Reservoir, identifying the victim as 40-year-old Joshua Moore of Marion. His empty car and kayak were found on the morning of September 1st, and searchers found his body the next day. It's the latest in a string of drownings that have happened in the Flathead this summer. A popular fundraiser to help the kids is coming back to Bozeman for the first time since the pandemic. Derek Wolf has details.
A beloved event is returning to Bozeman after a few-year hiatus. Ball for Kids' Sake, which is put on by Big Brothers Big Sisters of Big Sky Country. The popular event went away during COVID. However, it's back and folks will have a chance to put together teams while helping out a great cause. Ball for Kids will take place in Bozeman October 18th and October 25th. In Bozeman, I'm Derek Wolf, Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So this hot air piece talking about the Steven Crowder video we were just talking about. Former federal prosecutor Ellie Honig in a piece for New York Magazine where she states, when you impose meaningful search parameters, the truth emerges. The charges against Trump are obscure and nearly entirely unprecedented. No state prosecutor, New York, Wyoming, anywhere, has ever charged federal election laws as a direct or predicate state crime against anyone for anything, ever. So literally, this is this what Alvin Bragg is doing to Trump is literally unprecedented and a complete miscarriage of justice. And now even the Democrats are admitting it. Even now, it's got to be behind closed doors, of course, that they'll admit it. But now they're even admitting that. so that's going on out there. Aaron Flint tweeted out another story. I don't know what he's doing tweeting out news stories here on the weekend. But he's got a piece up by Frank Mealy, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Moderate tester goes kamikaze in Montana. This is posted at Real Clear I think it's at Real Clear Investigations. Frank Mealy's the retired editor of the Daily Interlake in Kalispell, a columnist for Real Clear Politics. And he talks about in here how basically John Tester's anti-Sheehy ads are backfiring. This obsession about shady Sheehy, people are just not appreciating it. As far as I can tell, I agree with his take on this. And of course, you know, Tim Sheehy has been focusing on rebutting a lot of these lies, including the lies about the public lands. Frank in here talks about how he's a 40-year resident of Montana, very familiar with the efforts of Democrats to paint their opponents as carpetbaggers. This is funny. So these Democrats, they paint these Republican politicians as carpetbaggers who came to the state to pull the wool over our eyes and fool us rube Montanans into voting for them on the basis of their policies rather than their birthplace. It's like, yeah, hey, Tester and you Democrats, we're not being tricked or fooled into voting for people based on their policies instead of their place of birth. We want to vote for people based on their policies. I voted for Gianforte, for Maryland Matt, if you want to call him that. You know, he mentions, you're Gianforte, born in California, raised in Pennsylvania. You know, Matt Rosendale lived in Maryland until he moved to Eastern Montana in 2002. And of course, Gianforte has been in Montana since 95, started one of the largest tech companies in the state. So this is something that the Democrats do all the time. Of course, I think it's great when veterans like Tim Sheehy serve their country, retire from the service, and want to come back to a place like Montana, build a ranch, start a business. That's wonderful. I cannot believe the Tester Harris Biden regime attacking a Navy SEAL veteran for starting a business and moving to Montana and buying and starting a ranch and buying a ranch, which, again, as I said, everybody in Montana's dream is to own a ranch. That's a wonderful success story that everybody would love to see happen to themselves. Like I said, if I ever have a huge business success, first thing I'm doing is buying a ranch. So don't try to attack somebody for that, you Democrats. Ridiculous. PACs are spending tens of millions of dollars here in Montana, not really having much of an effect, according to the polls. But Frank goes on in this piece to say, can't count Tester out. He's been living a charmed political life for the almost past 20 years. But I thought it was interesting how basically some of this negative advertising is just not going very well for the Tester folks. Which is good news. I think the Montana people see through it, thankfully, because we do want somebody in our offices here that represents Montana values in the sense of how they vote on policy. That's what matters, is how these folks are going to vote when they get to D.C. And one thing I love about Matt Rosendale is he goes to D.C. and he votes no on all this. Do I care that Matt Rosendale was originally from Maryland, or do I care more that he votes the way I want him to vote when bills come up for votes in Congress? Which is more important? Yeah, I think I would rather see Matt Rosendale in office voting along with the lines of how Montanans feel on policy, as opposed to having somebody like John Tester in there who gets to, you know, claim to be from Montana but yet votes with New York and California values. What's more important? Kind of seems pretty obvious to me. Bernie Sanders yesterday. By the way, I was going to try to watch some of the Sunday shows yesterday, and I like watching the Sunday shows because they're such a window into the Democrat Party mindset and what their talking points are. And so I was going to try to watch some of the Sunday shows yesterday, especially just so I could be prepared to talk about them this morning. Plus, I like to watch the Sunday shows and do some fair use of them on Twitch and provide a little bit of commentary and analysis after watching a little clip of them. I just couldn't do it. I mean, I opened up Meet the Press and saw that they had Raphael Warnock Bernie Sanders, and then who was it? Some rhino or something else like that. It was a meaningless. And then, you know, and then they had on some of these other shows a bunch of other people that I really have no. Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley was the big headliner for. Well, I don't know if it was ABC's This Week or if it was Face the Nation. I think it was Face the Nation. And then ABC This Week had on, you know, some nobody, some like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney. How hilarious is that? The Democrats are now absolutely ecstatic that Dick Cheney endorsed Kamala Harris. Dick, and thankfully, big shout out to George W. Bush. Thank you, George W. Bush, for not endorsing anybody in this candidacy. It's called respecting the office of the presidency so much that you don't even think an ex-president should engage in partisan politics. I think that's wonderful. I'm glad. Now, would I like to see George W. Bush endorse Trump and be out there campaigning? Of course. But, you know, George W. Bush has also been very good about stepping aside after he left the White House, something Barack Obama could learn a little something from. Hey, Obama, take a lesson from George W. Bush. Stop trying to run the American government from the shadow White House in D.C. Go back to your home state like George W. Bush did and have a little respect for the office of the presidency. Anyway, how funny is it that Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney are now the Democrats' big heroes? I thought Dick Cheney was like Darth Vader to the Democrats. I thought the Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney family were the most evil people in politics. Now, guys, hey, guess what, guys? Yeah, hey, you should vote for Kamala Harris because Dick Cheney endorsed her. Yeah, vote for Kamala Harris if you're really, really happy to vote for the same person that Dick Cheney's going to vote for. And Liz Cheney, that's the Democrat strategy now. Let's get Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney to... I just can't get over it. Oh, man. What does that tell? Honestly, I sort of always disagreed with the criticisms of Dick Cheney about him being, you know, a war profiteer and wanting wars just so that he could make money. I never bought into that stuff, really, just because I don't like to accuse people of that sort of corruption without a ton of evidence, and I never really saw much evidence for it. I guess until now. Now you start to wonder, well, what's really going on? I mean, is this really TDS? Is this really Trump derangement syndrome that bad to where Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, do they really have a medical diagnosis of Trump derangement syndrome that's causing them to openly support Kamala Harris instead of Donald Trump? Or is there some genuine corruption or, you know, whatever you want to call it going on here where they're not supporting Donald Trump because Donald Trump doesn't support endless forever wars. Really makes you wonder. Really, really, truly, truly makes you wonder. But anyway, Bernie Sanders was on this week. I don't know why. Bernie Sanders, 82 years old. He's going to be almost 90 years old. He's running for the U.S. Senate again. Bernie Sanders is going to be almost 90 years old. At the end of his next term, which he will win because he's running for reelect in Vermont, and Vermont is... The sad thing is, it's so sad, places like Vermont used to be places that loved freedom, loved the Constitution. Same with New Hampshire, Massachusetts. A lot of these Northeast states actually used to be pretty good freedom-loving, Constitution-loving states. Sad to see where they've gone now. But anyway, here's the story, folks. Bernie Sanders admitted, essentially, if you read through the lines, on the Sunday shows yesterday... that Kamala Harris's tack to the center is fake. Bernie Sanders basically said, oh, Kamala Harris is doing what she needs to do to win the election. In other words, Bernie Sanders telling the progressive Democrat base, don't worry, guys, don't worry about what Kamala's saying. She's still a commie, just like us.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If they ever got a hold of the Senate, they would eliminate the filibuster, they would do court packing, and they'd probably give you know, they'd probably give statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico because that's all the Democrats ever care about. You really want to see the corporate tax rate, the largest tax increase in American history? You know, raising the corporate tax rate, raising the tax on stock buybacks, raising big companies' corporate taxes, small business taxes, taxes on income and in each individual company where they operate rather than on their global profits overall, going with a global minimum tax to match what the rest of the world is doing and doubling that rate. I mean, that's insane.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, when it comes to selecting and installing new window treatments, it may seem like there's nothing between, let's see, high-end designer and some random unqualified guy with a power drill. But guess what? There is a better way, and that's where Blinds.com comes in. Now, at Blinds.com, you're going to get the savings of a local handyman with the expertise of a professional interior designer without the risk or hassle or expense. From premium woven wood to motorized shades and more, you can get unlimited window treatments now installed for just one low cost. Now, you can't agree on a style with your partner? Well, just talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free. If you need help with measuring and installation, well, they'll help you with that also. And yes, you can get that in-person service and confidence from the comfort of your own home. Why? Because Blinds.com ships samples directly to you. They make it easy, fast, and free. And if you shop at Blinds.com right now, you get savings up to 40% off site-wide. That's up to 40% off site-wide for a limited time when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all get benefits from tax dollars, from the roads we drive on, the firefighters who protect our houses, and the courts and police that keep us safe. So why don't we make taxes voluntary? The answer is the well-known free rider problem. People will not voluntarily pay for things that they enjoy, whether they pay or not. If everyone tries a free ride on the backs of others, it all breaks down. The solution, compulsory taxes, is as unpopular as it is necessary. But the free rider problem pops up in other places as well. One of them is housing regulation. The solution to housing unaffordability, to build more housing, is not welcome in many parts of our state, especially at the neighborhood level. Let those other places become more densely populated, some might say, while we keep our big lawns and quiet streets. And if we free ride on other communities' efforts to boost housing stock, we get the best of both worlds. Except that if every community thinks like we do, nothing changes and the crisis gets worse. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Need help with your finances and thinking about hiring a financial planner for some guidance? Well, it's important to vet advisors to make sure their pay structure reflects your needs. If you're considering a particular one, you have to ask questions like how do they arrive at their fee and what motivates them to charge the way they do. Many advisors base their pay on a percentage of assets under management. If you want to hire an advisor for both financial planning and investment management, you might encounter a hybrid fee structure. That means you'll pay a percentage for portfolio management plus a flat or hourly rate for financial planning. In recent years, some advisors have adopted subscription pricing that offers tiers of ongoing service with different monthly or annual retainer fees. Other popular options include charging an hourly fee or flat per project fee. You need to figure out what type of financial. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, apparently going viral on X right now are a bunch of AI-generated pictures of Donald Trump holding house cats and running away from Springfield, Ohio. Donald Trump gonna save all of the house cats and the house pets from being eaten by the Haitian migrants who, like, apparently there was, they're eating house cats, they're eating vegetables directly off of the grocery store shelves. One of them was carrying around a goose as if it was a, you know, a bag of fast food, and it was an actual full-blown, like, goose that had just had its neck run. Anyway, so you got to check out some of these AI photos with Donald Trump saving the house cats and the house pets from the Biden migrant crime. Tim in Billings sent in a good message on Montana Talks app. He says, funny how the liberals would fawn over Gianforte and Tim right up until the point that they decided to run for a political position as a Republican. Just how disingenuous the left really is. Yeah, no, great point, Tim in Billings. You've obviously been around long enough to remember what the Democrats thought of Governor Gianforte before he became governor. It was the same thing with Donald Trump, right? They love Donald Trump. They love Donald Trump right up until Donald Trump ran for president in 2015. And now suddenly he's the worst thing ever. You know, you've got all of those old audio clips of people like Oprah Winfrey, you know, the Reverend, quote unquote, Al Jackson or Jesse Jackson. I don't even know which one. But there's multiple of these clips from all these folks who now say Trump is some so horrible racist. From prior to 2015, they all loved Trump. They all would talk about how Trump was so good for hiring minorities, for hiring African Americans on his construction projects. That's a specific one. I think that was Jesse Jackson. You've got Oprah that wrote Donald Trump a letter talking about how amazing he was. But now that he's running for president, yeah, horrible. Same with, you know, yeah, same with Gianforte, same with Sheehy. How could you dislike Tim Sheehy? He's literally spending his time and his entrepreneurial efforts trying to save our public lands from burning down to wildfires that are running just out of control because the Democrats have such bad forest management policies. The Democrats should absolutely love Tim Sheehy. He's done more to save our public lands than John Tester could in a lifetime. Tim Sheehy has done more to actually protect our forests, to protect our national forests, to protect homes from being burned down by wildfires than Tester ever could. So I thought if you're a Democrat out there, you're a Democrat out there, and you care about our public lands, you care about our forests, you care about our trees, you ought to love Tim Sheehy and all that he has done for our public lands. Anyway, this is what Bernie Sanders said on the show yesterday. Kristen Welker asked him, do you think Kamala is abandoning her progressive ideals? Bernie, I think she's trying to be pragmatic and do what she thinks is right in order to win the election. How much clearer could it be? So even Bernie going on the Sunday show saying, hey, all you Marxists out there, don't worry, Kamala Harris, she's still going to be a progressive, hard leftist. Don't worry, she's just being pragmatic. She's just trying to win this election. It's the same thing with Tester. Kamala Harris is doing the same thing, quote unquote pragmatic, quote unquote going to the middle. It's lies, though. If it's a genuine change of policy position where you've thought about, oh, you know what? I actually looked at history and I realized socialism doesn't work. I realized price controls don't work. I'm pragmatic, not ideological. So, you know, I'm going to switch from being in favor of socialism and price controls to no longer be. Okay, that's one thing. But when you do it just to win the election, that's called fraud. And Tester and Kamala are doing the exact, it's amazing. They're doing the exact same thing. They're pretending to not be leftists. They're pretending to be conservatives. It's incredible to see. Here we are, early September, and just so much misinformation and disinformation from the Democrats and the media. Same thing. We'll be right back.